Mr. Wilmoth.
May it please the Court, I'm Thomas Wilmoth, and I'm appearing on behalf of Daryl Chapman and John Frank. Those two cases were consolidated for purposes of oral argument. The appeal in each of these cases is not about whether the district court abused its discretion by granting a reduction too paltry to reflect the value of each defendant's post-sentencing assistance to the government. It is instead a permissible appeal under Title 18, United States Code, Section 3742A, because the contention on appeal is that this sentencing decision was imposed in violation of law. It's not the extent of the reduction, but the foundation that it concerns each of these appellants. These appellants made good arguments based upon undisputed facts concerning the defendant's assistance as timely, as complete, as significant, as evaluated by the government itself, extensive as active cooperation, including testimony, and as dangerous to these appellants. How these motions related also was argued to the various 3553A factors concerning the character of these defendants, their respect for the law, and the disparity in cooperation cases in the Western District of Wisconsin. The court ignored each of these good arguments of defense counsel. Instead, the court focused upon two matters at these Rule 35B proceedings: the distribution of large amounts of cocaine in each case and the criminal history of each defendant. The court concluded you don't, quote, in each case, the court used these words, wash away, quid quote, that by substantial assistance. The defendant appellants submit that the statements of the court are truisms.
But let me ask you this. I mean, I know you rightly begin by saying you're not really criticizing as an abuse of discretion the degree of the reduction. But it seems to me it really comes around to that in the end, because it's a 35B motion, and what the district court judge decides he wants to consider as he decides how much of a downward move he's going to make is what I'll just call the record as a whole. It includes the amount of the cocaine, it includes the criminal history, it includes the other 3553A factors, and that set of evidence helps him decide, is it going to be 5 months, 10, 15, 20, whatever he thinks is correct. And I don't see where Rule 35B tells the judge, or anything else for that matter, tells the judge he's got to somehow cordon off certain information when he's deciding on the extent of a 35B reduction.
And if you're suggesting that the cordoning off is addressing some factors that deal specifically with the cooperation.
Well, with criminal history and with the drugs, those kinds of factors, which you were coming around to criticizing. But I don't see, even though, of course, those were material to computing the original levels under the guidelines, they were material to computing the original criminal history, I don't understand why the judge is supposed to put that from his mind when he's considering a 35B motion.
Certainly, the appellants are not suggesting that the court can't consider anything and everything to decide whether the reduction should be given in the first place and the extent of the reduction. And indeed, the criminal histories in both of these cases and the conduct and the underlying offense are certainly relevant to, again.
But then I really don't understand, what's the legal mistake you think the district judge made?
Because in the context of this sentencing proceeding, if you are to analogize it to a regular sentencing proceeding, this 35B proceeding, there were non-frivolous arguments brought to the attention of the court by both parties in this instance, the government and the defense, that the court summarily ignored. It didn't address the factors dealing with the specifics of the cooperation and how that cooperation.
It now begins to sound like you're just disagreeing with the Supreme Court's decision in Rita that district judges in imposing sentence don't have to go and talk about everything the parties have drawn to their attention.
No, indeed, I'm calling upon Rita, and in fact, some Seventh Circuit cases, be it the Cunningham case and the Miranda case, that say
Rita did not entirely agree with those cases.
But Rita did indeed assert that the court is not to go through some talismanic recitation of every issue and every factor brought to its attention under 3553A. But Rita, I submit, certainly didn't suggest that when non-frivolous, meritorious arguments relevant to the critical stage of the proceeding at sentencing are raised, that they should be addressed by the court or explained why they are not being considered by the court, or why the court is considering other factors more than those factors. And, you know, Judge, if you recall that the 35B proceedings are akin to the 5K1.1 reductions in the guidelines. And the 5K1.1 reductions in the guidelines speak to, enumeration, five factors that the court should consider. Now, they're not exclusive and they're not exhaustive. And the court, consistent with Rita, doesn't have to speak to each one. But certainly they give some guidance to the court. And when the court doesn't address any of them, and in particular ignores the government's assessment of the cooperation in toto, that gives rise to what the appellants contend here is an error in law, that these particular defendant appellants did not receive a fair sentencing proceeding.
But it seems to me you're equating the district court judge's silence with something like a statement on the record of the district court saying, I have decided to disregard altogether the government's assessment of the cooperation, you know, something like that, which would be outside the scope of 35B. I mean, the district judges aren't allowed to refuse to consider things that are relevant. But I don't know how, short of imposing some lengthy opinion writing requirement, we could accommodate your concern. And Rita didn't do that, so.
Right, I understand. But these 35B proceedings are not particularly complicated. And, I mean, so much of the work has already been done.
But one would think that the difference between the main sentencing and Rule 35B is that the district court can be more summary in the Rule 35B proceeding. But your argument seems to be that he has to be more explanatory in the Rule 35B proceeding than in the main sentencing.
Well, if you consider the 35B proceeding just a continuation of the original sentencing, I'm not suggesting that in that vein that the court need to be as detailed as in the original sentencing proceeding. But at
we know from Rita that he doesn't have to be detailed at all.
Yes, sir. But at the very least, consider the subject matter of why we're there instead of solely revisiting the sentencing issues months earlier. I mean, this court did not address important things like the danger that each defendant faced as a result of their cooperation, articulated by the government as true and as a fact in one instance, the fact that a particular defendant had testified before a grand jury and then at sentencing, the fact that another defendant had provided information that led to the indictment of multiple defendants in that same district, and in the importance of disparity in the particular district, that argument being raised, the court was explained, look, Judge, in other cases in this district, for which cooperation wasn't as significant as in this case, the court in the Western District has given sentencing reductions greater than 30% here. Now, I'm starting to morph into a little bit now about the extent of the reduction, which certainly is not something that I want to do, because, again, this is solely about the procedure, the form that the court utilized. And while I'm not suggesting that the court go into some large analysis of each factor raised, at least the meritorious arguments of the defendant at this critical stage of the proceeding ought to be addressed. If the court would have said, regardless of the 5K1 factors and everything counsel has said about cooperation, it is still the opinion of the court that the amount of cocaine in the underlying offense and the criminal history of this particular defendant do more than just simply wash away, but give us some kind of explanation as to why, for this particular defendant, it washes away the entirety of the cooperation. I have some time remaining, which I'd like to reserve. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Wellman. Mr. Connell.
Good morning. My name is Paul Connell. I represent the United States in this case. was responsible for the prosecution of Mr. Chapman below, and I'm here on behalf of Assistant U.S. Attorney Jeff Anderson with regard to Mr. Frank. With respect to both of or this consolidated appeal, this court has no jurisdiction. Although styled as if the district court committed some sort of legal error, the real issue here, Your Honor, is that the defendants just did not get the amount of the reduction that they hoped for and that they argued for at sentencing. I don't think it is any sort of dispute here that had both defendants gotten the departure they were or the variance they were looking for, they would not have filed an appeal. And in light of that, it is clear under Section 3742 in the United States versus McGee that this court lacks jurisdiction to
therefore. Well, there are lots of appeals that would never have been filed if the defendants had gotten more of what they were looking for.
That's
so I'm not sure that gets you too far.
That's true, Judge Wood.
Actually, in this case, the defendants wanted less.
There you go. Correct, Your Honor. I would just let me touch on what happened below. In both, with regard to Mr. Chapman, the district court did not mindlessly just go through this hearing. He listened to, Judge Shabazz listened to, looked at the affidavit that I filed, listened to my argument, listened to Mr. Wilmoth, and then weighed that assistance against the 3553 factors, the defendant's long criminal history, the need to protect the public, drug quantity, and so forth, and just found that as to the amount of the departure, he just disagreed. It shows that he was exercising his discretion relative to what the parties were looking for. The fact that it is solely a matter of his discretion, therefore, removes it from this court's jurisdiction. Unless there are questions from the court, I would just ask you to affirm the judgment, conviction, and sentence for each defendant. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Wilmoth?
In two proceedings over 4 days in October of 2007, the district court asserted that cocaine trafficking and aggravated past criminal history mitigates any amount of substantial assistance provided by the appellant. And then there was a rote recitation that a randomly chosen sentence is consistent with the 3553 factors. It seems to me, in today's world, in which this country is incarcerating persons at a record rate more than any other country, crime is on the rise, particularly drug offenses. Cooperation is a critical component in fighting crime. And finally,
Mr. Wilmoth, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and your willingness to pinch hit for Mr. Frank as well as for your own client. So thank you very much for the assistance you've been to the court as well as your clients.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.